Okay, the boys, today's daf is daf Tezvav. We're holding the very bottom of Yud Dalid Amid Beis. We're actually holding the very top of Tezvav Amid Aleph, but we have to go back to Yud Dalid Amid Beis. If you go to the 6 lines from the bottom of the Amid, you'll recall that Rav Enos Saba asked the kasha to Rav Nachman, and he listed 8 Nevi'im. Who are the 8 Nevi'im? The Elohim, Neria, Baruch, Saroya, Machasya, Yermia, Chilkia, Hanamel, and Shalom. What was special about all 8 of them? That they were Enoklach of Rochav Hazoina. And you'll recall that the Gemara said that Rochav Hazoina was Megayeres, and she married Yehoshua ben Nun. Anyway, what the Gemara is going to ask us momentarily is that of these 8, we know for sure that 4 of them are Nevi'im. How do we know that all 8 are Nevi'im? Now, what the Gemara didn't tell us until now, but as we'll see momentarily, going back again to these names, we're talking about 4 fathers and sons. Specifically, Baruch was the son of Neria. Saroya was the son of Machasya. Yirmia is the son of Chilkia. And Hanamel was the son of Shalom. And therefore the Gemara asks, I know that Baruch and Saroya and Yirmia and Hanamel were Nevi'im. It says that befeidish in the Pasuk. But how do I know that the fathers were Nevi'im? Zokti Gemara Bishloi Me'inu Mefarshi. Those 4. And Rashi goes and lists them at the very top, the first 2 lines, Yirmia and Hanamel. Next line, Baruch and Saroya. Those we know were Nevi'im. It says befeidish in the Pesukim. El Avasai, you mean, how do we know the father? Says he, Marki Ula Diyamar Ula. Kol Malkim Shishmoi B'Shem Aviv B'Nevius. Biyadua Shehu Navi Ben Navi. Whenever you find in the Pasuk that the Pasuk refers to a Navi and it refers to the Navi by his father's name as well, in other words, it doesn't just say Yirmia. It says Yirmia Ben Chilkia. That means that the father is also a Navi. However, if it just says Shmoi, it just says his name, L'Shem Aviv, we don't say blank Pliny Ben Pliny, we just say Pliny. Then Biyadua Shehu Navi Ben Navi is a simon that he himself is a Navi, but not his father.
Yeah. Aren't there other, like Yecheskel Ben Buzi? So Buzi is not mentioned here as being a Navi?
The reason why it's not mentioned is because we're focusing specifically on these 8 that were Enoch of Rach of Azoyna. Exactly. Okay. So of those 8, the Gemara says, 4 I know, but how do I know the other 4?
Got it.
No problem. Zogdi Moravaitem. Shmoi v'shem Iroi, we're on the 5th line. Shmoi v'shem Iroi mefeirash. If it says befeirish, where this Novi was from, or where he was, biyadua shehu Novi mi'oisir, then you know that he was from that city. However, Shmoi v'lo ishem Iroi, if it just tells us about the Novi, it doesn't say anything about his background, biyadua shehu Yerushalayim, then you can assume that he came from Yerushalayim. I'm assuming Yerushalayim was probably the center for Nevuah. Maybe there was even a yeshiva for Nevi'im, so to speak. So, you can assume that he was from Yerushalayim. Now, just like we said this by Nevi'im, similarly, we'll say this the Gabe Tzadikim and Chas V'Sholem Rishoyim. Basis and Tonu, we learned in the Brisa Kosha Masav, Imasa, Avoisav, Stumen. If, in general, his Masim and the Masim of his parents are not well defined, not well expressed in the Tanakh, but however, one time you do find that the Torah goes and says a praiseworthy thing about that individual. Tzafanya, we're referring to one of the Trei Asar, and it refers to his name and his father's name, as well as his Zayda's name. Since we know that Tzvanya was a great Navi, and the Pasuk there tells us about wonderful things that he did, so you can assume that Cushi, his father, was also a Choshev Yid, Biyadushu, Tzadik ben Tzadik, and of course, based on what Ula said before, you can also assume that his father was a Navi ben Navi. Where the Torah tells us about one of them, not such nice things. Now the Gemara doesn't tell us what the story is, but Rashi tells us that Yishmael ben Nesanya was the one that unfortunately killed Gedaliah ben Achikam. And that's why we have, of course, the fast day of Tzayim Gedaliah. So Yishmael was a bad guy, so you can assume that Nesanya also was a bad guy, Biyadua Shehu Rasha ben Rasha. Lushnikl, Omer of Nachman, Malachi ze Mordechai. Malachi, who is I believe, the last of the Treyaser, Chagi, Zachariah, Malachi. Malachi is the same thing as Mordechai. Mordechai had two names, Mordechai and Malachi. Malachi, how to get the name Malachi? Show you Mishnah la Melach, because he was the viceroy, he was second to the king. It would have seemed to be from the similarity between the word Malachi and Melech, that's what would seem to be the drasha, but the Marsha says that the word Malachi also comes from the Lashon of Malach, that according to this Havamina, Mordechai was an angelic figure for the work that he did at that time with Mordechai and Esther and Haman and Achashverosh. So that's why he was called Malachi. But the Maisa, he was a Mishnah Malach, he was a viceroy. Pray to Maisve, Baruch ben Neria, Visaroya ben Machasya, not Masya Chasya. We had it on the top of the Yomit. V'Daniel, Mordechai Balshin, V'Chagi, V'Zacharya, Malachi, Kulan Nisnabu Bishnas Shtaim L'Daryavish. What the Bryce is telling us is that when Daryavish was the king, which Daryavish are we talking about? Says Rashi, Daryavishu Achroin. You recall that there were two Daryavishes, one before Achashverosh and one after Achashverosh. And the one that was after Achashverosh, he is the son of Esther, Achashverosh and Esther. Anyway, so we're talking about the second Daryavish. And during his time period, you had a slew of Nevi'im that all said Nevuah at the same time. That was Baruch ben Neriah, and Saroya, and Daniel, and Mordechai Bilshan, and Chagi Zachariah Malachi. All of them said Nevuah at the same time. Now what's the question? The question is that it says both Mordechai and Malachi. If Mordechai and Malachi are one and the same, it wouldn't enumerate them separately. Says Yimara, you know, you asked a good kasha. Tiyufta, taka, what Reb Nachman says is ogifreit, is defeated. Tanya Rishia ben Karacha, Malachi ze Ezra. Oh, Malachi is not Mordechai, Malachi is Ezra. Malachi Shemoy. No, his name was Malachi, and that he's not Ezra. Om Reb Nachman, Mistabrak, or maybe they're saying that not that he was Ezra, he was called Malachi, but his real name was Malachi. But what's the point? How do I know that Malachi and Ezra are one and the same? Om Reb Nachman, Mistabrak, Kamadiyah, Malachi is Ezra, Tichsin is in the Pasik. Benevias Malachi, Bogbi Yehuda Vitei Eva Nesesab Yisrael Yerushalayim Ki Chilel Yehuda Kodesh Hashem Asher Ohav Uboal Bas El Nechar. This pasuk of Malachi is, Malachi is giving Teichocha, he's giving Musar to Klal Yisrael, and he's saying that Yehuda Bogda is a traitor, Vitei Eva Nesesab Yisrael, and a terrible abomination was made by Klal Yisrael and Yerushalayim, because Yehuda was Mechalel the Kodesh of Hashem. What Chilul did he did? Because Asher Ohav Uboal Bas El Nechar. Unfortunately, Jewish men were getting married to Goites, to Gentile women. So that's what Malachi was preaching and saying Nevi'ahs about. And Uman Afish Nochem Nechnoshim Nechriyos. Who do we find in Tanakh that actually implemented this Musar and stopped it? That was Ezra. Dechsev, V'yan Shechenya Ben Yechiel, Mibnei Eilam, V'yam Li Ezra, Anachnu, Mo'alnu, Belekenu, V'noyishev, Noshim Nechriyos. It's coming time for Klal Yisrael to go up to Eretz Yisrael once again at the times of Ezra Nechemiah. And Ezra was very, very zealous, that's a good term, a very zealous leader, and he said, I'm not going to take up with me any Jewish men if they are married to Goites. Shiktus, exactly. So Shechenya ben Yechiel told them, unfortunately, we have been moyel, and we did marry Shiktus. And the psukim after that, Ezra says, Chevra, you got to get rid of these Shiktus, otherwise you're staying here, I'm not taking you to Eretz Yisrael. So we see that both Malachi, in his Nevuah, was giving them Musar about marrying Shiksis. And we see that Ezra, in fact, split them up, is the Chasimin, that there is a connection between Malachi and Ezra, and that's why Reb Nachman says, it's Mestaver, to Malachi and Ezra are one and the same. Tanu Rabban, Barry, if you recall, mentioned the next Gemara yesterday. It says in the Braisa, Arba Noshim Yefefius Hayibayim, there were four women that were extremely attractive. Who were these four? Sarah, Avigail, and Rachav. The reason why it's parentheses is because it should be in reverse, because Rachav came before Abigail. Rachav, of course, was in the times of Yehoshua, and Abigail we had yesterday was in the times of David HaMelech, and then Esther. So we're just going in sequence chronologically. Zokimar Ulaman di Omar Esther Yerakroikis Hoysa. There's one man that says that Esther was not at all such a shining beauty, but rather she had a green complexion. But nevertheless, it says in the Gemara that the reason why Esther was considered to be so beautiful is because everybody said, Mishalonu, she was one of ours. She had a special chen, a special grace about her, even though she wasn't particularly beautiful, but that chen went and overcame whatever other problems or whatever. Yeah. Anyway, it's Esther Rekreis Hoysa. Mapik Esther, so take Esther out of the list of four. Ma'ayel Vashti and put a Vashti. The Vashti was a very attractive woman. And you remember that Ahasuerus wanted to show off his wife Vashti to all of the other Sarim v'Nechbodim at the Suda. Tanarvan. Rocha b'shmo zinsa, Yoel b'koyla, Abigail b'schirasa, Michal b'ashol b'riyasa. What the Bryce is trying to emphasize is, in a very dramatic way, that these four were so attractive that each one in her own way could cause a person to chas v'sholem be so heated up to chas v'sholem be mezana. So for instance, we talk about Rocha b'shmo zinsa. So Rashi says, b'shmo zinsa, it's about a third down the Amud, hamaskir eshema. Person who just mentions her name, Rachav, Nigger Achataivisnus. He already, his mind and his hirhurim and his whole, he starts to have a desire for Chas V'Sholem being Mezana to go and live impermissibly with a woman. And similarly, Yoel Bekoila, if one would hear Yoel either singing or speaking, she had such a beautiful voice that a person would have all types of machshavas of Chas V'Sholem to do znus. Avigal B'Schiros suggests mentioning her or thinking about her was so powerful. And Michal Bashol B'Riyasa, when you saw Michal Bashol, although the Gemara didn't mention that Michal was also so beautiful, but we see from this price that she was. So if you saw her, you said, oh wow. And the person of Chas V'Sholem would get all heated up.
Why are they bringing in Yael? Yael wasn't originally one of the four beautiful women.
Nor was Michal.
Right. Mm-hmm. So just an added, like, they were very...
The added benefit.
Tempting.
Yeah. These are two Brises. So I don't know that the second Brise argues with the other Brise. So he's just adding two more names. But these two women apparently were also extremely attractive. And therefore just hearing Yael's voice or just seeing Michal was enough for the person to come to temptation, to be provoked. We have this Gemara at the end of Masechtas Tanis, not the end, towards the beginning of Masechtas Tanis, where Rabbi Yitzchak said, whoever just mentions the name Rochav, Miyad Nikri can immediately become a Balkeri. He might see an emission. Rav Nachman said, come on, I know I'm in it, I'll say it right now, Rochav, Leichbasli, nothing happened to me. I'm talking about somebody that knows Rochav. If you knew Rochav and you saw Rochav and you heard her and you knew her and now you say her name, you can come to Balkeri. Like the Gemara said a moment ago, Rochav b'shmo zinsa, just thinking about her name, saying her name, that could already bring on the taiva. And Rabbi Yitzchak is going one step further, the person might even come to have an emission. We just said that. By the way, Tosis in Masechtas Tana says it's not Yoyde Makir that he just knew her, but also means that he once lived with her. If he once lived with her and then afterwards remembers the name Rochav, then Chas V'Sholem he can come the day he carry. We continue back to the Megillah. Umar Chayyabes Kavash and Nasa. My Omar, what did he say? Now the Gemara doesn't tell us that Mordechai said anything. It just said, Mordechai Yodas Choshenasim. But it says, right to the Pasuk Yikram, Mordechai is Begodov, Vayibash Sak Ve'ever, Vayetzib Sechir, Vayizak Zo'oka Gedoylo Umara. He cried out a very, very bitter, bitter scream. The question is, Vayimara, what did he say when he was crying out? My Omarav, Omar Gova Homan Me'achashverosh. Rashi has another word in the Bach, adds another word, not just Gova, Vigova, Liboy, Shulham Me'achashverosh. Meaning that although we said in the Gemara yesterday that both Haman and Achashverosh were wicked, and both were anti-Semites, and both hated the Jews, however, Haman's desire to destroy the Jews was much, much higher than that of Achashverosh. Gova Liboy means that he had all types of plans and designs that Achashverosh would never have thought of, because Haman was a triple A Russia, Achashverosh was only a single A Russia. Shmuel Amar Gover Malka Ilah Mi Malka Tata. Now, what Shmuel is saying is in a euphemistic way. What Shmuel is saying is what Mordechai said was that unfortunately the Malchus down below, meaning Achashverosh, by his evil decree, he is superior, chas v'sholem, to the Malki law, to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. However, he doesn't want to say those words that the Malkatata, the Melech down below, is superior to the Melech above, and that's why he uses the term that the Melech above is superior to the Melech below. But that just superior, the Gover means that he's won over, he has been menatzeach, he's been victorious. And the point is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the Shomer of Klal Yisrael, the Shomer Yisrael. And the HaKadosh Baruch Hu has, in a sense, sat on his hands and has let the Malchus Tato'a take over and write these terrible decrees without Hashem going and immediately stopping it. So in that sense, that's what Mordechai was screaming out, oyoyoy, the Malchus down below is being victorious over the Malchus above. And Rashi says that the reason why it says in our Gemara, Gavra Malki Ilo, Mi Malka Tato'a, that's kinoihu lehepach b'losh nikiyah. We don't want to go and say something so violent, so negative, chas v'sholem, that the malchus down below is victorious against the malchus shemayim up above, and therefore we say it in a very nice way. V'tischalchal malka mi'oid. What does that mean? V'tischalchal my v'tischalchal omarav shepirsa nida v'biyami oma shehutzrecha linikovel. The word v'tischalchal means that she was trembling from a loshen of chil. But it also is from the Lashon Chalulim, like we have in the Ashiyotzer, Chalulim, Chalulim, that you have a bunch of hollow body organs inside.
Cavities.
Cavities. Oh, that's the right word, cavities. Thank you. But not the cavities that you go to the dentist for, but body cavities. And these body cavities stopped having their normal routine.
Secretions.
They had secretions. Very good. So Rav says the secretion was that from the uterus, unfortunately, all the nida blood started pouring out, and Rabbi Yemi said that from the digestive organs, unfortunately, all the tzoa, all the excrement started coming out. So that's the vatischalchal, that her whole body system went kaflui, if you will. Vatikra Esther Lahasach, she called the Hasach, who was one of her close advisors and Shamshim. Who is this Hasach? Is a machlekes Rabbi Shmuel Amar Rav Hasach Ze Daniel. The Lamed Kishmoy Hasach Shet Chodchu Midulosai. He is the famous Daniel. The reason why he's called Hasach because Chodchu, that means he was cut down from his earlier illustrious positions. Rashi says that in earlier times, in the times of Balshetzar, in the times of Daryovish Amoda, in the times of Koyrosh, Daniel was essential to the Malchus, and he was the third in command there in the cabinet. And therefore, he was a very important government official. At the time now of Achashverosh, he was demoted from his position, so therefore he's no longer the third in command, he was the tenth.
What caused him to lose his clout?
It doesn't say. It just says that he was demoted. Shmuel, on the other, says just the opposite. Shmuel Omar, Shekol Divrei Malchus Nechtochen Al Pith. He was such an influential person that no legislation was passed and no decree was signed unless Nechtoch Al Pith, unless he gave the final order, the final say, the final okay. So he was a person of huge influence in the Malch. So therefore, in the kingdom. Therefore, it's not a chatchu mitilosa, but Nechtoch Al Pith, that he was the final decider, if you will. So Machloik is whether he went down or whether he went up in his position of influence in the times of Achashverosh. Now it says that she sent to Mordechai Hasach, Lazas Mazer the Al Mazer. What's going on? Amr Yitzchak Sholcholoi. She sent him Shema Ovri Yisrael Al Chamisha Chom Sheteira. The message Mazer the Al Mazer means maybe the reason why this terrible decree against Klal Yisrael is because they are violating the mitzvahs of the Torah. Now, where does it say Mazer the Al Mazer that has to do with the Chamisha Chom Sheteira? The Chassid, because it says Chassid Behem. It says about the Luchois Mizeh Umizeh Heim Ksuvim, that they were written on both sides, that the Luchos were engraved on the stone on both sides. So since it says Mizeh Umizeh, and that's referring to the Torah, to the Seres Dibris, and here it says Mazeh V'al Mazeh, so Yomara makes sort of a Gzeir Shava, that she's asking perhaps that the reason why there's this evil decree is because they are violating the Mazeh V'al Mazeh, they are violating the Torah. Now the Gemara leaves out a bunch of text over here that we find in the Megillah, and that is that Mordechai afterwards said, sent Hasach back to Esther and said, Esther, you better go into the Melech and go and plead for your nation, for Klal Yisrael. And in Leis Kazoyis, they got the Malchus. The reason why you were appointed to be the Malka is for this great moment in history that you'll be able to go and protect the Jewish people. And then what did Esther go and send back? She sent back, oh, no, no, no. You can't just go in willy-nilly to the Melech just whenever you want to. You have to have an appointment. You have to have a scheduled appointment. Otherwise, call out the Melech. Anybody that goes into the Melech, Ashaloyi Korei. If you come in without an appointment, they will take you to the gallows immediately. And therefore, she said, so she asked Hasach to go and deliver this message to Mordechai, that everybody knows you can't just go into the Melech willy-nilly, because Achaz Dosel Hamas. However, Hasach Daniel did not go to Mordechai to tell him the message. How do I know? Because it's Vayagidu. Vayagidu means some third parties, not the Shliach Hasach, but somebody else went to tell Mordechai about this, and therefore he heard it from others. What's the reason why? He was referring to Daniel to Hasach. He did not go to Mordechai. Because nobody wants to go and give a bad message. Everybody wants to tell something positive. To tell negative, let somebody else go and take the negative shlichus. So therefore, in a sense, Daniel stayed home. He didn't go to Mordechai. Now it says right in the pasuk that she, Esther, said, "Leich kenoises kol Yehudim v'tzumalai, get them all together." And then it says, "Chein ovi el hamelech asher loy chados." I'm going to go in against the rules. So pasuk pshat means, we just said now that you can't go without an appointment. However, Amar Rav Abba Shloi Kedos Hoya Shemchol Yom V'Yom Ad Achshav V'Oynes V'Achshav V'Rotzayn. What she's saying about herself is that until now, whenever I was summoned into the king, and unfortunately I had to live with Achashverosh, it wasn't from my Rotzayn, it was B'Oynes. I was forced to. However, V'Achshav, but now I myself am offering myself by going on my own. So Asher L'Chados. So what's so terrible from that? What she was telling Mordechai is the following. She's saying that, as we know, an Eishes Yisrael, that Chas V'Sholom was Nensa, a lady that's married to a Yisrael, not to a Kohen, who unfortunately was violated by another man against her will, she's Muteris Lavala, she's allowed to go back to her husband.
A Gentile.
Doesn't have to be a Gentile, can't even be a Jewish person. However, an Eishes Kohen, if Chas V'Sholom she is Nensa by anyone, then she's not allowed to go back to her husband. Even though it was against her will, she's not allowed to return to her husband. But here we're talking about Mordechai, who was a Yisrael. He was either Binyamin or Yehuda, as you recall, Ishimini or Ishihudi or both. But bottom line is, she was allowed to return to Mordechai each time, because each time that she lived with Achashverosh, it was against her will. However, now that she says, I'm going to go, Asher Leichados, means that I'm going to willingly offer myself to live with Achashverosh.
So while she was the queen, it is conceivable that she was having, let's say, conjugal relations with Mordechai?
Until now, she was allowed to, and she did have.
Meaning the king knew this?
I assume not, but I, you know, Chvesnish.
Okay,
she may have gotten pregnant, so. Also said she was
Mishamish. Good. Anyway, but getting back to our Gemara, what the Gemara is telling us is that until now I was permitted to you, Mordechai, whether they actually had relations or not, the Gemara doesn't explain.
Now that I'm going on my own volition.
Exactly. Now I will be prohibited to you now, Mordechai, permanently. And the Avadati Avadati is Kishem Shavadatim Beis Abba. As we know, Esther was an orphan from both sides, both from the father and from the mother. And she was adopted by Mordechai, and Mordechai not only took her as a daughter, but also eventually as a Labayis, as a wife. And now, unfortunately, now not only will I no longer have parents, I will no longer have you as my husband, because I'll be prohibited to live with you. V'yavar Mordechai. So that's the end of that shnikah. And then it's in the post, V'yavar Mordechai, and he went b'shar ha'melech. He was walking around. Now, what's the lashon of Vayavar Mordechai? Omer Rav she'hevir yom rishon shel Pesach b'tanis. That this lashon Vayavar doesn't mean that he's just walking around. Pasuk to Vayavar Mordechai Vayas kol asher tzivsa olav Esther. In other words, after Esther came back, sent back a message to Mordechai. Lech knoisis kol Yehudim etzumu alai. Go and make a tzoim for 3 days and fast and don't eat and don't drink, etc., etc. So Mordechai went and spread this information around throughout the Medina, throughout Shushan, that everybody should know we're going to start a 3-day fast. So that's the parsha pshat. But the Gemara is learning the word Vayavar means Shehever Yoim Rishon Shel Pesach Matanis, that he was over and violated an Aveira. The Aveira was a Lishem Mitzvah, Lishem Shemai. But nevertheless, the Gemara refers to it as an Aveira. What's going on? So Rashi tells us a little bit about the calendar. If you look at the Rashi, just one line higher than where we are in the Gemara, Yom Tov Rishon Shel Pesach, Sheri B'Yud Gimel B'Nisan Nichtavu Ho Igrois. If you look up the Megillah, it says that the Igeres sent out to all of the countries in the land about that Achashverosh signed this decree of the Hashvel Haragel Abed that was on Yud Gimel Nisan. V'Nitan Adas B'Shusha. So this word got immediately to Mordechai. Mordechai got it to Esther, and Esther said, "Let's start fasting." They didn't, let's say, okay, in a week from now we'll fast. They start fasting immediately, and that immediately means on Yudalid, which means Erev Pesach, Chamisha Aser and Pesach itself, Bishisha Aser, and the second day of Pesach or the Chol HaMoed, or in Eretz Yisrael is the first day of Chol HaMoed, and Chutz La'aretz the second day of Yom Tov. Anyway, Hisanu. Ubishisha Asr at the end of Shisha Asr, on the end of that day, at night, the Lahaman Be'erev, he was already hung that night. So therefore the 3 days worked consecutively, sequentially, one after the other, with 3 days later, Haman was no longer. But the point is that since this Tanis took place on Pesach, then nobody enjoyed, if you will, the Oinig Yom Tov. Other Mepharshim say, we should talk about the Achidas Matzah on Leil Pesach, if everybody's fasting. Why does he want to talk about Rishon Shel Pesach? Why don't talk about Leil Pesach? Maybe that's not an issue. Reason is because, after all, we don't mean that they fasted 72 hours straight. You have to eat something at night. It means that during the days they fasted, and at night they ate. Otherwise, it's impossible to go and fast 72 hours. Maybe there's one gibor in Klal Yisrael that can do it, but certainly not the masses. So maybe that's the reason why the Gemara doesn't talk about it. But I see Shelly has something to share with us. Yes, Shelly.
They didn't necessarily pass over the matzah.
They didn't pass over the matzah. Very good. But if they did, it was certainly Passover matzahs that they passed over. But thank you very much. Anyway, so getting back...
We should have a little Suda on Haman's... Maybe no, Al-Jismach.
The mind.
So, on the 16th, a big day.
Yeah, for Haman sure.
Was,
he was hung. Exactly right.
So they waited until another... 11 months then until they had the whole...
Yeah, fight. Because they decreed, Mordechai and Esther wanted them to go and abolish the decree immediately. Yeah. No, you can't. The holy decree of the Melech ain't the harsh if you can't. But what we can do is we can say we're going to be Mahapach the day instead of being a day.
Yeah.
Anyway, getting back to our Gemara. So that's the first pshat of Vayavar, that they violated the eating on Pesach. Shmuel Omar, the Ovar Urkuma Demaya. He said, no, it's much, much simpler. We're talking about that there was a pool of water, like a large puddle, and he crossed over that pool to get the people on the other side to spread the word that we have to fast now for the next 3 days based on the instructions from Esther Malka.
They didn't have to fast.
That's my assumption. The Gemara doesn't directly address this. There are achronim that ask, why does Rav focus on the fact that he didn't eat B'yom Rishon Shel Pesach? The Chayyim should go and say he didn't eat matzah b'leil Pesach.
Right, so
because oinig yom tov memeila takachoshev, but it doesn't rise to the level of achilas matzah b'pesach on leil seder.
Yeah.
Says, I didn't see the mafarshim inside, but this is achronim talk about it. But the easy answer would be that they only fasted during the day, they didn't fast at night. And if that's the case, then at night they were able to go and eat matzah.
Uh-huh.
Continuing on the Gemara Shmuel Amdeo Arkunamai. And we continue on. V'hi b'yom ha'shlishi v'tilbash Esther Malchus. So we had this Gemara 2 days ago. It doesn't say Big Day Malchus in Boilei. It should say v'tilbash Esther. Big Day Malchus. It just says Malchus. Amr Blaz, Amr B'chanina, Malam Shalof Shasa Ruach HaKoyish. It's a chasimah that when she put on, she was low veish, she clothed herself. We're not just talking about she clothed herself in the royal garb. But Lof Shasa Ruach HaKoyish, how do I know? Because it's Hachem v'tilbash Esther Malchus, Uksiv Hosam by Amosai, Ruach Lov Shes Amosai. So that Ruach is referring to a Ruach HaKodesh, here too, Ruach HaKodesh. Now, this Rabbi Lozer, Rabbi Hanina, the first halacha, or the first memra, was about the Megillah. Since we quoted Rabbi Lozer, Rabbi Hanina, we're going to have another 4 or 5 other memras. Please do me a favor, close the door behind you. And we're going to have another 4 or 5 memras of Reb Lozer, Reb Chanina, which are unrelated to what we were just talking about. V'yom Reb Lozer, Reb Chanina. La'olam al tehi brichas hejit kal beinecha. When you get a bracha from a hejit, it should not be poo-pooed in your eyes. It shouldn't be a trivial matter. Shar shnei gedoyli ador bircham shnei hejoytis. In the skyim of a hen, there were 2 greats in gedoylim who were blessed by hejoytis, and their bracha was makuyim. Ve'ilahen, who are we talking about? David the Daniel, David the Barchei Aravna. Aravna Yevusi is famous for having sold the lot to David HaMelech to build the base of Mikdash. And it says about Aravna, Aravna El HaMelech, he gave him a bracha. And the purpose of the bracha was because unfortunately there was a magefa. The lotion of the bracha is said in the Bach. The Bach adds a few words in Oisei. V'yom Aravna El HaMelech, Hashem Alekecha Yirtzecha. HaKadosh Baruch Hu should go and you should find Ratza in HaKadosh Baruch Hu's eyes that he should be happy with it. We're on 15a. We're probably 15a4 because we're about 10-12 lines on the bottom of the Yomit. So what the Gemara tells us is David HaMelech was blessed by Aravna, and the end of that pasuk says Vatiotzera Magefa, as a result of that bracha, the Magefa that there was at that time ended. There was some sort of epidemic, pandemic, COVID, whatever it was. It ended as a result of that bracha, even though Aravna was a hejit. Similarly, Daniel the Barachi Daryavish, Daryavish gave a bracha to Daniel, the ant polach lebe tadira, the god that you worship on an ongoing, constant basis, who yishizvanech, he should go and save you. And as we know, Daniel was saved from the guv shalaroyis, from the lion's den, and the Gemara attributes that in part to the bracha of Daryavish.
But Daryavish isn't a hejit, he's a king.
He's a king, but vis-a-vis Gedoyli Yisrael, in terms of godless spiritually, he's considered to be a hejit. V'yom Reb Loza Omer B'chanina, al ti kilas hejit kal beinecha. Until now we talk about a birchas hejit, now we're talking about a kilas hejit. Shari Avimelech kilal es Sarah. After Avimelech went and sent Sarah away, he gave her a curse. Hinei hulach k'susei naim l'chol esh itach. Rashi in Chumash interprets it in a favorable way, but our Gemara is interpreting it in a very negative way, and he's saying, this should cause you to have covered eyes. Covered eyes means that you should not be able to have proper vision, which means he's saying in a very subtle way that Chas v'Shalom, you sort of should become blind. She, however, did not become blind, but however, it's kind of bizarre, but her son Yitzchak became blind. But he's talking Yitzchak back to Chana, and the Meroi said he couldn't see anything, and that's why he had the whole story with Esav and Yaakov, and Yaakov was wearing Esav's clothing, etc. So therefore, this Kesus Einayim was Mekuyim, so a Kalola of a bad guy, of a Hedyot, Chas v'Shalom could also become Mekuyim. V'yam Reb Loz Om Reb Chanina. Boyer Re'esh Le'kimitz Kedemarch Mitzim Adas Adam. Mitzim Adas Adam Odam Shoyfes Kedera V'yakach Nuisim L'toich HaMayim V'kodesh Baruch Hu Nuisim Mayim V'yakach Shoyfes HaKedera. Kodesh Baruch Hu does things differently than B'nai Adam. We go and first take the pot and put it on the stove, and then after that we fill it with water. But the Kodesh Baruch Hu fills it with water first, and then he puts it on the stove. The Kai Mashinema, like it says in the Pasuk, the Koil Titoi Hamoin Mayim Bashamoin. That the Kodesh Baruch Hu first puts the Hamoin Mayim, all of the water up in Shemayim, and then the rest of the Pasuk says that after that, the Kodesh Baruch Hu surrounds that water with Anonim, with the clouds. So therefore, the Kodesh Baruch Hu puts the water in first, and then he gives us the clouds, which are going to be the receptacles, the Kalim, to hold the water. Now, I know that many people are going to look at this Gemara and they're going to be surprised. The last time I put a pot on the stove, I put it with the water in it already. Why does the Gemara say that a person is shayfitz kedev yachach noisim l'toich hamayim? So I believe the answer is Bear in mind that our pots today are manufactured differently than the pots of yesteryear. The pots of yesteryear were made out of much thicker and heavier materials. Either were made out of iron, or in many cases people had earthenware pots. Even people today use earthenware pots. Those can be very, very heavy. If you go and fill them with water first, and then put it down on the fire, you could chas v'shalom break your back just getting to the stove to put the water down with in the kederah. However, most of our kederahs today are much thinner material, like made out of aluminum or tin, which are much, much lighter. So of course you could fill it up first and then put it on. Sorry, was that
stainless steel?
Stainless steel.
Aluminum, okay. They don't like using it. They say it's not good.
Okay, but anyway, I'm saying that although the Gemara says that the derech ha'olam is to go and put the pot down first and then the water, you don't find that that's necessarily the case today. I assume the reason is because our pots are much lighter. What is the chashivas in that the Kodesh Baruch Hu's noisim ma'aviyach shoshim dera? I don't know what the chashivas is. In other words, what is the blood of Rav Chanina trying to tell us? Obviously, there's a message here. What the message is, I don't know. If you can think of one or you see something, please let me know.
No takeaway.
No takeaway. Right.
No, there is a takeaway. We just don't.
I haven't found the takeaway.
Hasn't been revealed to us.
At least not to me. So if anybody you see something, the footnotes in the art scroll are also silent. They don't give us any indication. The Omer goes on Rav Chanina. Kol Oimed Dover B'Shem. Oimer Mevi Gulam. This is very, very famous. Whoever says Dover B'Shem. Oimer Mevi Gulam Shenemar. V'Toimer Esther LaMelech B'Shem Mordechai. That she went and told the Melech about Mordechai, that big son of Aserish, and how they had plotted against the Melech, etc. So you have to be Oimer Dover B'Shem Oimer. It's fascinating. Almost everybody knows this member of Kol Oimed Dover B'Shem Oimer. But if you ask people who's the one that said it, very few people will know that it's Omer Gloza Omer Rav Chanina. So maybe that's the reason why the Gula hasn't come yet. The Amr of Lazar Rav Chanina. This is Rav Lazar, Amr of Chanina the Tana. Yeah. What's the Tana's name? Amr of Lazar ben Shamua. Because Rav Lazar the Amoyer was Rav Lazar ben Bedos. The Amr of Lazar Rav Chanina. Tzadik Ovad, the Doirei Ovad. When a great tzadik passes away, it's not that you have to mourn for the tzadik's loss that he is no longer alive. Baruch Hashem, he's in this Medrash Shomali, he's learning with the Malachim, with the Kodesh Baruch Hu. It's the door that Nebuch has the terrible loss. Marshal Yalim Sha'abdulim Margulius. Person loses a beautiful diamond, a beautiful pearl. Kalmokim Shehu, Margulius, either Shamo or Shema. It's like, of the El Labala. Meaning, if a pearl is lost, wherever the pearl is there. The pearl is
still a pearl.
If the pearl was animate, if it had if it had brains and had a soul, it would be able to say, I'm here, yeah, come and get me. Of course, it's inanimate. But the point is, it's not lost. It's vis-a-vis the Baalim that it's lost. I don't know where it is, but wherever it is, either Margolius Shema, either still called that same beautiful pearl, or Margolius Shema, the Margolius is there. Just, I don't know where it is. Right, V'chol Zayn Enu Shoyvali, Amr Blaz, Amr B'chanina, B'Shoah Shiroah Hominis, Mordechai Yosh B'Shar HaMelech, Amr Kol Zayn Enu Shoyvali. As soon as he saw Mordechai, he said, anything and everything that I have is gunish ved, it's worthless. Why is that? Kirav Chizit, Yom Rav Chizit, Zebob, Pruz Buli, Zebob, Pruz Buti. Now, the Gemara doesn't tell us the whole background over here, but there's in Midrashim, or in other Gemaras, it talks about the fact that at one point, both Haman and Mordechai were appointed to be the heads of a whole garrison of troops. And they were given money at that time to be able to buy whatever they need for the troops. Haman, of course, squandered the money and used it quickly to go and have lavish meals. And when time came to battle and to go and provide them with weapons and whatever, he had no money left. Mordechai, of course, used the money wisely, and so therefore he had plenty of money left. So Haman came to Mordechai and said, hey, we're about to go into battle, can you go and lend me some of the money? So Mordechai says, I'll give you the money, but only on condition that you agree that you become an eved to me. And Haman was so desperate, he was willing to go and sign away his soul and his body to Mordechai. Rashi brings a pekitzur over here, if you want to list Rashi, about 10 lines from the bottom, Zebop et Pruzbuli. The word Pruzbuli means a document of Ashiris. The word Buli means Ashiris, which means wealth. Pruzbuti is a document identifying oini, or that a person is poor. As Rashi says 6 lines from the bottom, Mordechai bo eila betanis oisher. Haman bo betanis oini. he had the Puzbuli, the document that shows that he's rich, and he has the document that shows that he's poor. Shemochar Haman is atzer leMordechai koyin lechein yomim rabim bekikrei lechem. He had no more food for his troops and for himself, and therefore he had to go and sell himself literally to Mordechai. And so therefore, since he sold himself, anything and everything that mashe kona eved kona rabbi, whatever a servant or whatever a slave owns, is owned by its master. And so therefore, when he saw Mordechai, he said, "Oh, that's my master." Mordechai was coming with his document showing Ashirus, and he was coming with a document that showed that he was poor, meaning that he was an Eved to Mordechai.
And what was the background of this? So
the background was that they both were heads of garrisons of troops, and the king had given them money to go and fight the battles. Haman squandered the money. Mordechai did not. When it came time for battle, Haman had nothing left for his troops, not even food. So Mordechai said, "No problem, I'll give you money, but you have to agree to go and sell yourself as an eved to me permanently." And he agreed to it, and that's what happened.
So from this time until when Haman approaches Ahasuerus, doesn't he give him a huge sum of money to deal with the Jews?
That's what Haman did. He raised or stole or got or whatever. He offered him a seres alof of kikar kesef.
That's what I'm saying. So wasn't he quite wealthy?
For all we know, since he was a minister in the cabinet, he could be like some of, not Hashem all, but some of our modern day politicians who start off Oni ve'evyon, and miraculously in a few years they become multimillionaires.
Uh-huh.
Because they have their sons, for instance, become the chief executive officer of a company in Ukraine that doesn't even exist or something like that. But anyway, I don't know what we're talking about. You know, no problem. So, getting back to our Gemara, Omer Apapa v'korulei avda demizdamid v'talmai. You could call him, or he was called the Eved, the Mizdamid that was sold, B'talmai. What means B'talmai? So you see Rashi on the right hand margin. Talmai is Nahama, means bread. B'kikros lechem. So that's just what Rashi told us in the Yomad Aleph, that he had to sell his whole body and soul for bread for his troops. And the pasuk continues, "V'chol zeinenei shaveli." Malamid shekol genozim shel oyser rosh hakukim al libay. How can he say "V'chol zeinenei shaveli"? Is a simon that Haman was constantly reviewing his portfolio, and therefore he knew anything and everything that he owned alibay by heart. So you could ask him at any point how many properties he owned. 48 different properties in 39 different states, and this is located there, and this is located there, and this is worth this amount. So it was chukuk alibay. This is preeminent in his mind and in his heart, all of his riches, and that means koza, anything and everything that I own in Enoshavali, and he could tell you immediately, give me the whole balance sheet with all the properties and all the masses that he had, the fortune that he had amassed. Like it says in the Pasuk, the Omer Rabbi Luzer Ruchin. Okay, that's the end of this discussion. Now we go on to another Rabbi Luzer Ruchin. The Omer Rabbi Luzer Ruchin, Osir Kadosh Baruch Hu, Liyos Atora Baruch Kol Tzadik V'Tzadik. Kadosh Baruch Hu is going to be like the crown on the head of every single Tzadik. Shenem, it says in the Pasuk, V'yei Mahu, Yi Hashem Tzvokois, Lateres Tzvi, Ula Tzviras Tefora. And then the Pasuk continues on, and so on and so forth. Our Gemara now quotes virtually verbatim three psukim in a row in Yeshaya. So the first pasuk is that day Kadosh Baruch Hu will be lateres tzvi, my lateres tzvi, or tzvidus tefara, the oisin tzviyoinoi. Kadosh Baruch Hu will be an atara, a crown, tzvi of those that have the rotzoin and are following the rotzoin of Hashem to do His mitzvahs and masim toifim. Ule Ulamatzmin Tavartoi, what does that mean, Tvartavartoi? We start again. But Yemahu, Yi Hashem Tzvokas Lateres Tzvi, Ula Tzviras Tefara. Darshadimar, My Lateres Tzvi, Ula Tzviras Tefara. Loisin Tzvioina, those that follow Hashem's Ratzain, His will. Ulmitzapim Tavartoi, and they are waiting for the Tiferes that Mashiach should come, and the Kodesh Baruch Hu should reveal His glory and His majesty over the entire world. So those people that are Mitzap and Yeshua, they're going to have an Atorah, a crown on their heads. Yochel HaKol, I would think, everyone who is in that category, that is Mitzap and Yeshua, and he does HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Ratzai, Tamalei, the Pasuk continues on. Letzviras Tefara Lishor Amay. Mishem Meisim Atzmai Kishirayim. Only those that conduct themselves with modesty and humility, not people that are arrogant and pompous. And the pasuk continues on, and those that follow ul-ruach mishpat. What's ruach mishpat? Zehadon es yitzrei. What means don es yitzrei? Rashi says on the fourth line of the right hand side, don es yitzrei, koifeyu loshev b'tshuva. Person takes his yetzahara and he says, yetzahara, shekinuk, I've done enough avedas, from now on, we're going to go and change our path, we're going to now do tshuva. Ul-yoshev al mishpat. What does that mean? Don din emes lamitoi, a person who is don din emes lamitoi. What's the lotion of emes lamitoi? So you have here a short toisvis, where the toisvis is talking about you can have, for instance, a court of dayanim. They hear edim, and they take whatever the edim say, they take it carte blanche, they take it on face value, and they say, okay, the edim said that Reuven borrowed money from Shimon, he didn't return it, so boom. Reuven wins the case. However, dinem slamita means to go and do due diligence vis-a-vis the edim, to go and ask them a whole bunch of questions to find out if they're really telling the truth. Maybe these edim are false edim, false news. So that's dinem slamita, to really go and delve and go deep into it to see that it's not a din maruma, it's not a psak that is based on deception and fraud, but it's based on the real McCoy. So that's the Yoshua and the Mishpat. Ligvura, Ziham is Gabra al Yitzray. How is this different than the before Don Es Yitzray? So Rashi said Don Es Yitzray, person takes his Yitzhahara and he forces him to do tshuva. Miskabal Yitzray, says Rashi, in a Hoylech Achra Lavar Aveira. He doesn't do the Aveira ab initio. He doesn't even start doing the Aveira. So the Miskabal Yitzray, he doesn't allow for the Yitzhahara to convince him to do an Aveira. Donas Yisra means after he did the Aveira, now he pushes the Eitzahara to go and agree to do tshuva. Zokim Orvayt Meshivim Mokomish and Noisim and Noisim Mokham Shal Torah. Again, these, who are those that are going to be Zoicha to this beautiful crown? Those that are learning Torah in this world, then Noisim and Noisim, the Meshivim Mokham is not talking about a physical battle, but a spiritual battle. The Mokham Shal Torah arguing back and forth. The Rav and Shmuel, Abaye Varova, what's Pshat in the Gemara, going back and forth. And then it says in the pasuk, Shara meaning the gates. These are talking about the Talmid Chacham, who are the gatekeepers, that they come early in the morning to open up the Beis Medrash to go and learn Torah, and they're the ones that close the gates at night after they finish learning. So these are not people that come in the middle, but these are real Talmid Chacham that come early and leave late, etc. How come you're treating these Yidden so much differently than you're treating the Goyim? They deserve to be rewarded, because after all, they learned Torah. The Umas Olam were given the opportunity, and they refused. They said, yet, I don't want the Torah. Everybody knows the more in the beginning of Avodah Zarah. Kadosh Baruch Hu went to Esav and he went to Yishmael. What does it say in the Torah? It says Vaytzirtzach, that's not for me. It says Vaytzinov, that's not for me. So they weren't interested. Exactly right. Now, again, there seem to be a couple words missing over here, where the Midas Adin is continuing to have a discussion with the Kadosh Baruch Hu. He says, Numeila Umas Olam Fashteach. What about the Yidden that don't learn Torah, what about them? These people, unfortunately, because they indulged themselves in wine and in beer, in other words, they did indulge themselves in Yonei Olam Hazeh, Shogu, they did a Shogeg, they went off the Derech, they erred, and To'u means they went astray. However, unfortunately, they're going to get their reward, meaning their punishment, and that is Gehenna, because the Poka Pelilia, what means Poka, and Poka El Gehenna, Shenema, V'loisiyah Zoyis L'cholafuka. We quoted this Gemara yesterday, that Abigail said to David HaMelech, this is not going to be your Gehenna. Unfortunately, there's going to be a future event or instance that involved Bathsheba. So we see Puka means Nebuch going down. This in the over here means going down the drain into Gehenim. They completely are the Dayanim. The Dayanim are going to decide that the person deserves Gehenim Shenema Menasim Beflilim. That's the word Plilia, and Plilim means the judges. Right, Batamoi Bachatzah Beis Melech HaPnimis. Now, after Klal Yisrael fasted for 3 days and three nights, sorry, three days, I should say, she came. That is, Esther Malka comes now in front of the Melech. Vataman, she's standing b'chatzar beis Melech Hapnimis. Amar Levi, kimi shegiya the beis Hatzlamim. When she comes to the beis Hatzlamim, nistalka imen Hashchinah. That means that before she entered into the office or the inner chambers of Achashverosh, she first had to go through some sort of anteroom, where in that room there were a whole bunch of slum, a whole bunch of statues. And those statues were all for purposes of Avodah Zarah. So since she was now standing in a room of Avodah Zarah, Nistalkim and Shechinah, the Shechinah left her because it's a Mokum Tomei with all of those slum. Omra, and she said, Keili, Keili, Lama Azavtani. The story is told that Rabbi Herzog, who was the chief rabbi of Israel, was a great Talmud Chacham, after the war, met with the Pope Pius, one of the other popes, Yimach Shem of Zichram, and asked for his help in finding the Jewish children that had been taken away by missionaries or by private Christian families that were supposed to give them back to the Jewish families after the war, but most of those Jewish families had perished, and therefore he was enlisting the Pope's help in trying to get those children. Unfortunately, the Pope was not at all helpful, and he basically threw them out. And the story is told that of Herzog, as soon as he came out meeting with the Pope, he immediately told his Gabon, let us go and find the first mikveh possible, because he feels the tumah in the air when he was there together with the Pope. So you see also that Esther Malka was in the base of slum. She felt that tumah to the extent that the Shekhinah left. And Omran, she cried out, Keili, Keili, Lama Azavtani. Now, as you all know, this is at the beginning of the Lam Natzeach Alayelas HaShachar, which is Chodeis, which is the famous mizmor that we say on Tanis Esther, which is referring to Esther Malkin. Anyway, so she cried out, Keli Kelam, tell me, why did you leave me? Shema Atadon al Shogi Kemezval Oynis Karatzoin, or Shema al Shekarosov Kelev. She assumed that the reason why the Shekhinah left was not because of these Tzlomim, but because she was about to sin. And what she said to Kadosh Baruch Hu was, the reason I'm going to Achashverosh now is not because I want to, believe me, if I could avoid it, I would. But I'm doing it to go and save Klal Yisrael. So therefore, Kadosh Baruch Hu, don't leave me and don me, Chas Hashem, the Kaf Choyva. Remember, I'm not doing this b'mezin, I'm not doing it b'rotzin, I'm doing it b'oynis. Oh, Yishema, maybe the reason why you're punishing me is Al Shekros of Kelev, because I referred to Achashverosh as Kelev, and therefore didn't give him the proper respect. Shenema Hatzila Mecherev Nafshim Miad Kelev Yechidos. You go and save me from this Kelev, from this dog. Chazra, and the second one, she went into Tshuva immediately. Vekarasei Aryeh, and she called him the lion. Shenema Hishieni Mipi Aryeh. So therefore, she changed her tune from Kelev to Aryeh. Right, Vihikir Oysa Melech Es Estra Malka. Omer B'yoychan and Gimelach Yeshor Zedam Lelo Bo'isa Shoah. In the schus of this tremendous mitzvah that she is doing to go and save Klal Yisrael, three malachim came on the scene, and what did they do? Echad shigbias tzava, one that picked up her tzava, her neck, the echad shemasha chut shel chesed leh, one that put a chut shel chesed on her, so that she should find favor in Achashverosh's eyes, because otherwise it says that someone who comes without an appointment, Achaz Dosei Lohamiz, the Echad Shemasach Es Hasharvit, and one that caused the scepter to go and be extended, and as we'll see, miraculously it was extended far beyond the normal length of the king's scepter. The Kama, how much longer was it than usual? Amr Pirmia, Shtei Amis. It was all the length of two Amis. Then Midoi Al Shtei Mesrei. And this Malach came, and he extended it from 2 to 12. Now, if you think that that is the miracle, the Gemara is going to give now another 3 or 4 different Shi'urim. The Amrila, others say that he extended not from 2 to 12, but from 2 to 16. The Amrila Al Esri Abed to 24. Amis long. But Masnisa Tana al Shishim, 60 Amis long. The Chain Atamoitzi, you find the same, the Amsa Shal Baspari, which we just read about on Shabbos, that she went, the Tishlach Es Amosa Vatiko Cheha, and we all know the famous Rashi, that Amosa Parshav Shab means sends her Shivcha, but in this case Amosa means that the hand or the arm got miraculously extended, that she was able to go and bring in Moshe Rabbeinu in the basket. For him, after Moshe, you find the same. The Mishinei Rishoyim. The Chassid Mishinei Rishoyim Shibarta. Yomrish Lakish, Altika Shibarta Elasher Rivavta. Now what is this all about? The Gemara doesn't tell us the whole story, but you have this Gemara in Mesechtas Brachos that Og Melech HaBashan went and lifted a mountain of three parsi. In other words, a very, very tall, heavy mountain, and he wanted to go and throw it onto Klal Yisrael. So Moshe Rabbeinu was mispal, and the Kodesh Baruch Hu made a nest that there a bunch of nemolim, some ants, came into this large mountain, and they made holes in it so that the mountain now fell down on his own head and on his own around his neck, and became like a necklace around the head of Og Melech HaBashan. Og Melech HaBashan now tried to lift it off his head, but he couldn't because miraculously his teeth extended beyond his mouth, got embedded into the earth of this mountain, and as he was trying to go and lift the mountain, he was, you know, he was lifting his teeth and his whole jaw, and he couldn't. And so that, it says in the Pasuk, Sherivat. If you look at the Rashi here on the right-hand margin, oh, it's about more than halfway down the Rashi on the right-hand margin. Machinery showing. What happened? He picked up this huge mountain to throw it down in Klai Yisrael. So he's holding it above his head. Sent a bunch of ants and made holes in this large mountain, and therefore it fell down, part of it, all of it fell down on his neck. He's trying to now remove it, and his teeth got extended in both directions. Next Rashi, Tikri Shibarta Sharif after. What is this referring to? It's in the Pasuk, Mishine Rishoim Shibarta. Don't say Shine Rishoim Shibarta that you broke, but Shine Rishoim Sharif after that you caused to grow. Now, what the Gemara just finished saying was that the scepter grew 60 amos. What the Gemara is telling us now, what Rashi is telling us now, is that the teeth also grew 60 amos. How do I know that they grew 60 amos? Says Rashi, we learned it from Shinei Rishoyim. The Licht of Kro, it could have said the Pasuk, V'shein Rosha Shibarta. Why does it say Shinei Rishoyim Shibarta? So by saying Shinei, you have an extra yud in the word Shinei, which is 10. Instead of Rosh, it says Rishoyim. So you have an extra yud and mem. So you have an extra 50. 10 and 50, Arishishim is 60. And so therefore, the scepter was extended 60, the teeth were extended 60, and apparently the same thing applies to the Amos Basparai, that also her arm got extended 60 Amos. Can you imagine? Anyway.
What do you do with the base?
By the way. Yes. By the way.
Seriously, Babylonian culture had a base 60. By the way.
Day 16.
Okay, that's why we have 60 minutes in an hour and so on. And at 360 degrees in a circle, etc.
And 60 seconds in a minute.
Right.
Very
so
good.
60 may be significant.
Okay, very good. Shkoyach, you wanted to ask something?
We added the Yod, and we added the Yod Mem here, right?
Mm-hmm.
So Shane Rosha says, the Shine Rishoyim, right?
Right, mm-hmm.
So it should be Shane, right? So what do you do with the base?
But you know, I don't know which base you're referring to.
So the post is Bishin Rishoyim, right?
I didn't say Bishin Rishoyim, it says Shine Rishoyim.
Also Shibach, I'm not mistaken.
No, Chas Rishoyim. Which I thought you were going to ask is that you have two Yudin, but it could be that the Shine is spelled
Shane could be Shane Yud, not Yud, Shin Yud, Nun.
But it could be spelled Shane without a Yud. And Shine could also be spelled without the middle Yud. Could just be a Chirik,
right.
Shin, Nun, Yud. And the extra Nun because of the plural instead of Shane. It's a Shine. So you have an extra Yud. And the Rosha is extra Yud Mem. So you have 60 altogether. No problem. I think it's fine.
It's just altogether.
Rashi says that the word Shine has an extra Yud.
Right.
And the Rishoim has an extra Yud Mem. Because it could have said Shane Rosha. And it says Shine Rishoim. So we add the Yud, and the Yud Mem, we get 60 altogether.
Where's Barry Shane when you need
him? Oh, exactly. But he's a tzaddik, so therefore that's why it wouldn't be appropriate.
Okay.
Fine. Anyway, so that's 60, and now now we would think that we are now at the maximum that this scepter could be elongated. No. Rabbi Bar Ofron, remember we had him a few days ago. Rashi said, Tosis said over there, it's not Ephraim, but it's Ofron. Rabbi Bar Ofron, Omer Mishom, Rabbi Lozer, Sheshom, Mirabi, Rabbi, Mosayim, that it was extended 200 amos. Can you imagine? And assuming that the scepter was 200, and the same thing applies to the amsa shalparei and to the teeth. Oh, the teeth got 200 amos long. Boy, that's very, very long.
Long in the tooth. That's an expression.
I'm sorry,
the English expression.
Yes,
long in the tooth.
Long in the tooth?
Yeah.
Okay. The footnote in the article says that if you look up the Maharal, he gives an explanation what's the significance of all these different numbers, the 12, the 16, the 24, the 60, the 200, etc. There's a famous word, I think, from the Brisker Rav, if I'm not mistaken. If the Gemara is telling us that the basket of Moshe Rabbeinu was so far that you'd have to go and extend your arm 60 amos, or even just 12 amos, or whatever, to reach it, then why did she even stick out her arm? I mean, isn't it impossible? Okay, so Imriyamis or the Briskerov or both say to the effect that a Yid has to do as much as he or she can, do the best and the most he can, and then you wait for Kodesh Baruch Hu to go and give you Siyat Dishmai. If you get it, you get it. You don't get it, you have to go and do the maximum that you possibly can do, and then Kodesh Baruch Hu will do the rest. So this Amsa realized
this is a stretch.
It's a big stretch. Yeah, thank you. Especially if it would be at the end of the seventh inning, it would really be a stretch. Okay, continue on with the Gemara Vayta. How do I know about something? Okay, so the Gemara Vayta. Ma'yoyim aloha melech ve'esra malcha. Ma'abakosho seich ad chatzia malchus fisei'os. So the Gemara chatzia malchus v'lei kol malchus. He told her, I'm not going to give you the whole malchus, I'm only going to give you up to maximum half, but not the whole thing. V'lei dover shechoytzitz v'malchus, and not something that is a chatzitz in the malchus. So my new, that's a binyan based on English. I will not agree if you're going to ask me to go and build the Beis HaMikdash. The question is, why is it called Choytetz Malchus? So Rashi says, because the Beis HaMikdash is considered to be Be'emtza Shol Oilam. Why is it Be'emtza Shol Oilam? Because the Beis HaMikdash is standing on the Evan Shesia. Evan Shesia, as we know, we learned back in Masechtas Yuma, Shemimena Nishtas Ho Oilam. Evan Shesia was how the core of the earth began, with Evan Shesia, and then everything grew on and stretched in all directions, to use Shelley's term, it stretched in all directions from top and bottom and right to left and north and south, but it started off with the Emet Shesiyah, so that's considered to be the Emet Shalom. And since he, Achashverosh, was one of the three kings who was king over the entire world, so therefore that's the middle of his Malchus. So he said, I won't agree to the Beis HaMikdash, which is Chaitzitz, which is smack in the middle of my Malchus. Why did Esther invite Haman to join her at the Mishnah together with Achashverosh? And the Gemara is going to give now about a dozen reasons. She went and built in stumbling blocks. She was hoping that he would trip himself in the middle of the Mishnah and say something improper. The shulchan there should be for a stumbling block. She learned this from her father's home. The best way to win over your enemy is if he's hungry, go and give him food to eat. Because she was afraid that in the meantime, she's meeting with the melech, and he's going to go and do some sort of merida, some sort of rebellion against the king. So she wanted to make sure he's here. So that nobody should think that she happens to be Jewish. The Melech apparently had at least some sort of inkling, because that's what the Gemara said before. He said, "But I'm not going to give you the Binyan Beis HaMikdash." If she happens to be Yechvais from Tanzania or something, why would she be interested in the Beis HaMikdash? So apparently he had that inkling. So she figured the best way that people will discount that she's Jewish is bring the arch enemy of the Jews, bringing along the Haman. She was afraid that Klal Yisrael would say, we got Protexia, we got the Malka herself, the second in command after Achashverosh, we have nothing to worry about, and they're not going to fast, and they're not going to say Tilim, and they're not going to do Tshuva. So he figured, if I bring along Haman, nobody will suspect her of being the Protexia. He should be there at any given moment, just in case we need to go, for instance, to execute him. He should be there on the spot. Maybe she was saying to herself that maybe Kadosh Baruch Hu will see how I have to shame myself, that I have to go and take along the arch enemy of the Jews, this Haman of Russia. It's a, such a bizarre, I have to go and schlep this mass murderer with me, and maybe Kadosh Baruch Hu will then have Rachmanis and make a nest for us. The reason why I'm doing this is that if the Melech thinks that I'm having some sort of an affair with Haman, he's going to go and kill both of us. And as you remember, we learned in a previous Gemara, any time an official that was part of the initial legislation gets killed, then the whole legislation falls away. Remember, Gamliel, the Sardiot came to Gamliel and said, if you guarantee me a place in the world to come, and then he jumped off the roof and he killed himself, and then afterwards Basco came that he's Mazum Chayilim Abba. Anyway, Shiharik Huvehi, and therefore then the whole Zera will become bottled. So she was willing to be Moise Nefesh, her own life, to save all the Jews. Ram Gamliel Oimer, Melech Hafach V'Chanhoya. She knew that this is a very moody king that changes his mind on a whim, on a second. And therefore, she was concerned, now he's going to go and say, yeah, let's go and kill Haman. And then, tomorrow, when we try to bring Haman to the gallows, he'll change his mind, just like by Vashti, after he got sober again, he said, hey, what happened to my wife Vashti? And he got angry at all those, the seven advisors. Anyway, so the Yasel, so that's him in Arachman. What Rabbi Gamliel says, all these reasons that we gave are wonderful, but Rabbi Elazar HaMidoi says the best reason. What she wanted to do is cause the Melech to have terrible kinah, envy against Haman, and say, who are you? I have this wonderful Malka, and you're kind of an interloper, and then you get out of here, and then Chas Shom go, and Chas Shom that he should go and kill him. And now he'll kill us from Sarim. All the other ministers will be jealous and say, how come Haman went to this Mishnah and nobody else? And she was hoping as a result of all this envy that would cause his early demise. Rab Omar, now the reason if they shever going, before you go and break something, going, you lift it up like a Loshen Gaiva, let's go and take him to the highest pedestal, and then, what do they say, the higher they are, the more they fall, or
the harder they fall.
Oh, that's the right expression. Shkoyach. Shkoyach Ariel. Abay Rabbi Yom Tervayu, another reason, b'choymen oshis es mishteim. B'choymen means when they're all heated up, oshis mishteim, that's when I'm going to do, have them at the Mishnah, and what she was referring to, says Rashi, was that Balshetzar also, and the Yovish and Koyrish, also, they also made a Mishnah when they were tired out, and they, and then afterwards they became Shikr, and after that Balshetzar got, died that night. So Esther was also hoping as a result of this Mishnah, the Rishoyim would have their punishment. Certainly Haman, if not both of them. Ashri Rabba Vuel Elio, Rabba Vuel saw Elio. Rabbi Omle Kiman Chazia Esther, Va'abdahochi. We just said about 12 different reasons. Tell me which is the right reason. Omle Vakulu, Kikula Tanoim, Kikula Amiroi. Like all of the Tanoim and all of the Amiroim, each one they gave the reason. She had in mind every one of these reasons when she invited Haman to the Mishnah. For example, Haman is quite Ashri Veroi Banav, the Kamaroi Banav. How many are Roi Banav? Amirav, Lamed. 30 altogether. What's 30? Asar and Mesu, 10 of them died, I guess, in the fighting with the Yidden at that time. Vasar and Nitlu, 10 of them were hung, as we know, in the Megillah. Vasar and Mechazun al-Psachim, and 10 of them became Shnoras, they became paupers, and they had to go and solicit funds. Raman Amri, Oysen Shemechazun al-Psachim, Shivim Hava. Those that afterwards had to go and solicit funds, they were 70. Tachsivim in the Pasik, Sveim Balechem Niskaru. Sveim Parshim Shat means from Russian Sveya, that they are filled and satisfied with eating bread. The Skaru had to hire themselves out. Al Tikr Sveim, Ella Shivim, that there were 70 of them, and they never were trying to get business or trying to get work. The Skaru, so they would stand on the corners asking people for either work or for ox.
Where is the Pasuk Sveim Balachem Niskaru?
It's a Pasuk in Shemuel.
So that's something in Shmuel. So how could it be related to meaning? Like, how do we look?
I mean, what's the connection over here? You ask a good question. I don't know what the connection is. We'll have to look up the portion further. But just like it says over there, Sveim, and it means Shivim, that's the Shivim over here. For Omer Bar Abba, Omer Kulam Masayim Ushmon Hava. There were 208 children Haman fathered 208 children. Shneimer says in the pasuk, Veroiv Banav. So what's the raya? Because Veroiv is Begematria 208. Now, if let's add together the Vav, Resh, Vav, and Beis. Vav is 6, Resh is 206, Vav is 212, and another Beis is 2, is 214. So says Yimara, Veroiv Begematria Masun Varbeisahav. It's not 208, it's 214. On Rav Nachman Yitzchak, Veroiv Chsiv. If you look up the pasuk, you'll see it's missing the middle Vav. It just says Vav, Resh, Beis. Vav, Resh, Beis is 208. So you had 208 children, not 214 children. That night the melech couldn't sleep. He was stirring. We don't mean the melech Achashverosh. We mean the melech upstairs in Shemayim. The Kodesh Baruch Hu was kaviyachol thinking of ways to go and finally take nekama against Haman and against the Rishon. Rabban Amri, both the ones above, that are the malachim. The malachim were going and spoiling Achashverosh's sleep by telling him, you should go and don't be a kofi toiva. After all, someone came to you, meaning Mordechai, and he saved you from Bigtzum Veseresh, and you haven't done anything. So the Amalachim were going and waking up Achashverosh and bugging him and saying, it's about time that you should go and do good for the people that did good with you, meaning Mordechai. Rav Amishnas HaMelech Achashverosh Mamish. It's Pasha Pshat that Melech Achashverosh, he himself could not sleep that night. He was trying to sleep, and then his mind is wandering, and he said, Omer Maida Kamon Dezimlesei Esther Lahaman. What's going on over here? That Esther made one Mishnah and invited Haman, and now we're going to have another Mishnah Haman? Dilma Eitzah Koshakli Ilavei Dahu Gavra Lemiktalei. Maybe they're plotting together, Haman and Achashverosh, to go and kill me, Achashverosh. Then afterwards, his second thought was, if they're making this plot and plan, somebody else got to know about it too. And if somebody else knows about it, how come nobody's informing me? After, where's my FBI, my CIA? Why aren't we telling me what's going on? You know what may be the reason? So then Achashverosh has another thought, maybe somebody already did a toiva for me in the past, and I never went and paid him. In other words, I never gave him his proper reward. That's the reason why they don't want to go and tell me that they're plotting against me, because they figure anyway I have no gratitude, so they're not trying to help me out. Therefore he said when he woke up, go and bring them in so that I should hear what happened in the past. Was there anyone that did something for me that I never paid him? And of course, and then the unicorn, it says of Ne'amalech about Bigtzum Veseresh, and how Mordechai helped him out. And that was the beginning of the Gula. Finally, it's a unicorn, Malamish unicorn Me'alein. It doesn't say that they were Sofrim or people that read them. Nikroim is a Lashon Nifal, that they were read. What means that they were read? That they read on their own. It's as if you pushed the recorder and it started, the tape started repeating on its own what it said inside these Vayimatzi Kosev, what it said inside these Tivri HaYomim, and then Mitzvah will continue tomorrow. Have a wonderful day, Rabbi Yisai, and Zayge Zunt, and Zayge Bench.